case, Schletz versus Academy Collection. Mr. Phillips?
May it please the court, I'm David Phillips. I'm here on behalf of the plaintiffs, Schletz, Webb, and Jones. Very simple argument this morning. I think that this case, these cases should be remanded pursuant to this court's decision yesterday in Chue versus National Action Financial Services.
What wasn't yesterday?
That's when I got it yesterday.
Oh, so when you got
it. It was decided.
That's not the date of decision when you received.
Well, it was decided March 30th, Judge, which would have been yesterday. That's when it was put on.
So was it?
Yes, Your Honor.
Oh, okay.
You may have written it before then, but it hit the wire yesterday.
Okay. It took a while to get to the printer involved.
And counsel, of course, for Academy is aware of that decision. He was on the other side of National Action Financial Services. In both of these cases, the collection letter didn't just say we want an amount. It fudged it by saying there may be something else that we want. In this case, of the Academy letters, it said we may have some accrued interest.
In Chue, if I'm remembering it correctly, I should remember the old case, but in Chue, the panel was confused. We were confused. The judges.
That's one of the things that you found.
But I didn't find that's our new test now. I didn't find this Dunning letter confusing. I mean, it said explicitly, you know, total balance due, and that's what you pay. And yes, if you have a continuing relationship with a creditor, then of course, you know, you may owe more money, based on late accruing interest and so on. So what's particularly confusing about this?
Well, because, Judge, it says it may have or will accrue interest, which, without telling you when that may have or will accrue interest.
Well, that depends on your relationship with a creditor, not with a debt collector.
That's correct, Your Honor.
The debt collector doesn't necessarily know the intricacies of your relationship with a creditor, what other accounts you have, and so on. They've just been asked to collect, $5,609 and zero interest.
In one of them?
So if you pay that, you know, your relationship with the collector is finished, even though you may be accruing interest that's specified in your contractual agreement with the original credit. They're not asking you for that money. They're reminding you that you may owe more because of your contract with the creditor. So don't think that when you pay $5,609.74, you're off the hook. You're off the hook with the collector, but you're not necessarily off the hook with the creditor.
Well, I think the judge, if they would have stopped it, here's the amount, or they said in the future you may have or will, this doesn't tell you when may it accrue. You know, is it accruing in the future? Has it already accrued and we're not telling you about it?
It says may have or will, which means it may have accrued already or it may be accruing. So that's just a reminder. You know, you have a contract with the creditor. And it seems to me pretty...
I think that's
pretty,
one
pretty
possible
harmless.
Interpretation, Your Honor.
I think that's the natural interpretation.
Well, I don't think it's the natural interpretation. I think
what's
it's one
the
of the possible...
interpretations?
Particularly when it says, if applicable, your account may have.
Right, and they should have known whether it was applicable, Your Honor. They should know, is this creditor charging future interest? And in fact, in the trial court taking discovery on this, some of these, they knew, would never accrue any additional interest. And that was one
but
of the claims
says
below.
But it may accrue. They're not saying it will accrue. They're not threatening you with future interest.
Right.
They're just saying,
but another,
look at your contract with your creditor and see what
And another logical interpretation is exactly what was testified to by the plaintiffs, which is they're left scratching their head. Is additional interest accruing or isn't it? And, you know, when you add that additional language, I think it does raise another plausible interpretation, and if it raises a plausible interpretation, I think that does violate GA1. And these aren't unreasonable interpretations. If they were unreasonable interpretations, I would agree with you. But I don't think they're unreasonable interpretations. They could have, you know, taken depositions of these people to try to show that somehow this was an unreasonable interpretation. They didn't. The unrebutted testimony from these three consumers was it did confuse them. It raised a credible question in their mind about how much is at stake. How much is the collector trying to get here? Is there any other further questions?
No. Okay, thank you, Mr. Phillips. Mr. Peterson?
May it please the court, my name is Peter Pedersen, representing the Appalee Academy Collection Service. We would submit that this letter is fundamentally unlike the letter involved in Shoeway for the reasons the court was going over during Mr. Phillips' presentation. This letter doesn't make reference to a most current balance, which presumably is different from or greater than the amount reported in the letter. And unlike the Shoeway letter, it doesn't request that the consumer contact the collection agency for information about that different, more current balance. Instead, this letter simply states a principal balance amount, an interest amount of zero, and that the total balance due is identical then to the principal balance. So there's no potential in the face of this letter for a consumer to misinterpret how much is being sought for collection at the time. Similarly, the contingent language at the bottom of the letter will not support a claim of confusion because it merely points out a contingency in which the creditor might add additional charges pursuant to the credit agreement. That contingency is something that Academy, the collection agency, doesn't know whether it will happen or not, can't predict what its client is going to do with regard to a particular interest-bearing account, but there's no dispute in this case that each of the appellant's three debts were interest-bearing debts, so it was within the rights of the creditor in each case to add such charges. Another important implication of Shoeway on this decision is that Shoeway reaffirmed that when it is unclear whether a letter will confuse its intended recipient, then it is incumbent on a plaintiff challenging the adequacy of the letter or challenging whether the letter is confusing to put forward some type of systematic evidence showing that the letter, as alleged, actually has a confusing effect on its recipients. In this case, the plaintiff appellants put forward no such evidence. Instead, they rested on a self-serving allegation in an affidavit that the letters confused them, but there was no explanation and there was no showing that other consumers were confused in a similar manner. There is also, in this case, a 1692E violation alleged by two of the plaintiffs, Schletz and Webb. They contend that the contingent statement was false or misleading because Academy allegedly knew that no additional interest would be charged by the creditor. But the factual premise of this claim is incorrect. The unrebutted testimony of Academy 30B6 designee was that we do not know, and we did not know in these particular cases, whether the creditor would add additional charges at the time we mailed the letter. And that point was also made in the declaration submitted in support of Academy's consolidated motion for summary judgment. There is there is no conflicting evidence in the record on that point. So the premise is factually incorrect. But more importantly, the contingent statement, which is being challenged, is true whether or not additional interest would be added by the creditor. The language in question states, if applicable, your account may have or will accrue interest at the rate specified in your contractual agreement with the original creditor. If additional interest is charged, then the statement would be applicable, and it's true. If no additional interest was charged, then the statement would be inapplicable, but it remains true because of that that qualifier at the beginning of the sentence, which makes clear that the contingency referred to might or might not happen. But in any event, it is an accurate statement of that contingency because these are interest-bearing debts. And if the court has no further questions, we'll stop there.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Pedersen. Mr. Phillips, your time expired, but you can have a minute.
I think Mr. Pedersen's comment about there being contingencies and qualifiers just drives the point home. If you have contingencies, you have qualifiers, that does leave consumers with a plausible potential for confusion. These people, three people, unrebutted, testified that they were confused. It's a valid point of confusion. The defendant is the one under the burden not to confuse these people, not the plaintiff's duty not to be confused by the letter. They should have just stopped after saying we want this amount.
But that additional information is useful information. You don't want to drive these people into silence, because anytime they say anything, you pounce on them with a suit.
Judge, we're not talking about driving them into silence. We're talking about...
No, you say they should have stopped after...
Well, they could have said more. They could have followed the safe harbor letter.
Yeah, right.
And that's been out there since 2000. These letters are well after that. As you said, we're not putting them on a razor's edge. There's a way to do this. It's give a transitional phrase of, you know, we may be trying to get more money from you. In these cases, ACS knew there would never be any more money on two of the accounts because they were charged off and closed. So really, you know, they tried to use one-size-fits-all collection letters here. They didn't need to do this. I think it should be remanded. I think the letters are improper. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Lee. You don't have to sit down. You're in the...
Okay.
So... Thank you all. Thank you to both counsel, and we'll move on to our